Welcome to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer, producer and host of this program, and it's good to be with you. This week we are bringing you a talk from Creative Morning's monthly breakfast series. The presenter is Chanel Turner, speaking on the topic of roots. Please enjoy the show.
Thank you all for coming and listening to me chat about what I believe is a cute and uplifting reminder for 2020 for you all and myself. Trust me, more for myself than anything. It's essentially a reflection of the previous decade and how I was able to bounce back from some really trying times in my life. Even as I wrote this, I thought about the experiences I was a part of, positive and negative, and how I responded. Sometimes I'm proud of myself, like really, really proud. And other times, I just need to sit in silence with no words to forgive myself. What I have cultivated through reading and listening about identity, purpose, healing, forgiveness, healthy relationships, and self-care is so important to who I've chosen to become. Now let's get to it. Roots. The part of a plant which attaches its to the ground or to a support, typically underground, conveying water and nourishment to the rest of the plant via numerous branches and fibers. From this definition, I'm sure you all might think that I'm going to talk about plants. In a sense, I am, but what I want to talk about is what came to mind for me when first pondering the narrative of this presentation. My first thoughts went to a previous Creative Mornings talk that I attended with Barbara and Trent. I didn't even know it was her birthday. But I was like, oh, maybe this is an extra plus. As the speakers, Barbara, native of Brazil, said something that moved me when she mentioned the notion of adapting to fit in when she moved to the U.S. and how she tried stepping away from her authenticity, what made her unique. That got me thinking about roots figuratively, the idea of family roots, and how the cultural and social identities of people of African descent are so lost to the diaspora of peoples by way of slave trade or migration, and how this can amplify feelings of trauma and identity crisis in my community because of systemic conditioned conformity to white supremacy and operating within these ideas written by the media's depiction of the Black experience. I then decided that although I believe my first thought was pretty great, I wanted to take this into a different direction with bits of my initial idea, but a direction more closely related to the page that I'm on currently in life, which brought me to my next and final idea. So I Googled roots again, and I read more definitions, but then I came across an article that I will read here in a sec, and it pretty much jump-started the creation of the rest of this talk. This presentation is a discussion of the correlation between plant roots and the human experience. I'll start by reading a passage from a Science Daily article titled, How Roots Found a Root Around Obstacles in the Soil. The key is in the fuzzy coat hairs on the roots of plants, says Professor Liam DeLon. We have identified a growth control mechanism that enables these hairs to find their way and to elongate when their path is clear. Root hairs explore the soil in much the same way as a person who would feel their way in the dark. If they came across an obstacle, they feel their way around it until they can continue growing in an opening. In the meantime, the plant is held in place as the hairs grip the soil. This ability is governed by a self-reinforcing cycle, a protein at the tip of the hairs called RHD2. Very Star Warsy. I told myself I wasn't going to say that, but hey, here we are. When an obstacle blocks the hair's path, the cycle is broken and growth starts in another location and direction. This remarkable system gives plants the flexibility to explore a complex environment and to colonize even the most unpromising soils. Stick with me. This will come first full circle pretty soon here. Now, people, you and I, like roots, need to be grounded, nourished, and fed in order to grow and thrive. We don't need any more scientific journals to explain this fact. So for the remainder of this talk, I want to share with you guys the importance of maintaining strong roots. So, like before, Professor Dolan mentioned, when an obstacle blocks the root's path, the cycle is broken and growth starts in another location and direction. I believe that this statement is incredibly relatable to the human experience. I try staying away from absolutes. However, we can absolutely know one thing to be true, and that is that life will continuously throw obstacles at us over the course of our lives. What can make or break us is how we navigate those obstacles. Nourishing strong and healthy roots can give us the added leverage we need to end cycles that no longer serve us and create new paths to peace and harmony. In my line of work, I see many people who deal with the same problems as you and I. In some cases, the lack of well-nourished roots is evident in the way situations are resolved, which oftentimes will end up a downward spiral of actions that create distance from obtaining peace and harmony in their lives and relationships. I believe to maintain strong, healthy, and resilient roots, we should possess what I call the four pillars: positive self-identity, purpose, healthy relationships, and self-care processes. Positive identity. Identity in a country full of diaspora of peoples from places they were either taken or migrated from is very complex. However, being conscious of one's identity and experience in the world creates space for understanding and room to heal and grow. As a descendant of African peoples, I feel the weight of my presence in the world around me every day. Much more now than ever before because of my conscious effort to understand my experience. I'm going to share with you guys a passage from the Journal of Counseling Psychology written by Sean O. Utsi et al., titled "Cultural, Sociofamilial, and Psychological Resources That Inhibit Psychological Distress in African Americans Exposed to Stressful Life Events and Race-Related Stress." Stressful life events and race-related stress have important consequences for the psychological and physical health of African Americans. As such, an important theoretical and practical question is, what protective factors can mitigate this stress and the subsequent risk for negative mental and physical health outcomes among African Americans? A significant related need is further understanding of the mechanisms whereby protective factors function to alleviate stress. For example, psychosocial resources are the skills, beliefs, talents, and individual personality factors that influence how people manage stressful events. They include self-esteem, optimism, and ego resiliency. Ego resiliency is intertwined with ego control, which basically refers to things like our ability to control anger and aggression. So ego resiliency is all about how we can adapt to factors in our environment that stress us out. For example, psychosocial resources may reinforce and strengthen a person's psychological equilibrium and emotional stability, thus reducing the likely onset of distress. Resources are seen as having both a deterring and coping function, and their effects include maintaining positive self-identity and self-esteem, reducing distress and preserving psychological and social equilibrium, and reducing the likelihood of encountering stressful experiences. The presence of external stressors is not necessary to trigger the distress-deterring process. The presence of psychosocial resources can reduce the likelihood of distress by solidifying self-identity and providing the ego with the capacity to avoid or manage life experiences, which could be potentially stress-inducing. The Black experience is ever-changing. It ebbs and flows from the oceanic shared experience of marginalization and oppression to the unique rivers and streams of individual levels of consciousness, lifestyle choices, and preferences. Blackness is multifaceted expression that can take any shape or form and should never be placed into a box labeled Black people stuff. Knowing this creates the space to heal and live. It presents the opportunity to explore our most authentic selves while simultaneously actively working to bring healing, growth, and equality to communities of peoples of African descent. My journey of exploring my identity doesn't end with my ethnic cultural identity. Life is a constant introduction to my true self and that identity. Creating space for myself to heal has opened up so many possibilities into exploring my human identity, and with each day that passes, whether good or bad, I feel more and more grounded and fed. Purpose. The purpose of life is not to be happy. It is to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate, to have it make some difference that you have lived and lived well. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Happiness is one area of the human experience, but it is not everything. It can't be everything because there will be moments of pain, anger, or disappointment that must be unpacked and learned from. Having a sense of purpose, the why, to getting out of bed in the morning and taking on another potentially incredible or crappy day can make or break some people. Without a purpose, things can seem bleak and meaningless. Purpose does not mean having to be the best artist or the best athlete or doctor. Purpose is a selfless reflection of our experience. From the words of John Templeton, purpose is a stable and generalized intention to accomplish something that is at once personally meaningful and at the same time leads to productive engagement with some aspect of the world beyond the self. I don't believe that people are destined to find their purpose. One must make the choice to be conscious enough to see outside of self and personal preservation, to acknowledge the world around you and how the beauty and ugliness of it all affects you in a very real way. With this understanding and constant act of learning and seeking, your roots will continue to grow stronger and more resilient when faced with adversity. A passage from John Templeton titled, "The Psychology of Purpose." Research teasing apart the role of purpose among people of different socioeconomic backgrounds suggests that those in challenging circumstances are likely to have a difficult time discovering and pursuing personally meaningful aims. This finding fit well with psychologist A.H. Maslow's famous hierarchy of needs, which suggests that people must meet basic needs for things like food, shelter, and safety before they are easily motivated to pursue aims like self-actualization. However, several studies also suggest that purpose can emerge in difficult circumstances and that it may serve as an important form of protection, as in a study that showed that having a sense of life purpose buffered African American youth from the negative experiences associated with growing up in more challenging environments. Viktor Frankl argued, based in part on what he had observed firsthand, experiencing adversity might actually contribute to the development of purpose in life. Modern scientific research on human purpose has its origin in, of all places, a Holocaust survivor's experiences in a series of Nazi concentration camps. While a prisoner at Theresienstadt, Auschwitz, and two satellite camps of Dachau, Viennese, psychologist Viktor Frankl noticed that fellow prisoners who had a sense of purpose showed greater resilience to the torture, slave labor, and starvation rations to which they were subjected. Writing of his experience later, he found a partial explanation in a quote from Friedrich Nietzsche. "Those who have a why to live can bear almost any how." Healthy relationships. A healthy relationship can be a plethora of different ideas and roles. However, without love, respect, and nonviolence, a relationship is bound to fall apart. With these three simple ingredients, the potential for building an incredible companionship with friends and lovers is possible. Love encompasses compassion and empathy. Respect nurtures clear communication, boundaries, and honesty. And nonviolence facilitates accountability, equality, and community. As some of you know, I work at the Center for Nonviolence in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and healthy relationships are vital to the mission we strive for every single day. I'd be lying if I said working there made it easier to build my relationships in a more meaningful and loving manner. It isn't easier. It is, however, a major blessing. I want to share a passage from John Beams, the co-founder of Center for Nonviolence. "It matters whether we try hard to honor relationships or whether we neglect and despise them. Love and respect is not a gift that descends upon us without effort. I am responsible for bringing love into my own home and for offering unconditional respect to my family. It is hopelessly romantic of me to believe I am entitled to love if I am unwilling to give respect. Every single day I must make a choice. Some days I get swallowed up in the mess of it all and take it out consciously or unconsciously on my friends and family. Other days I make a choice to nurture my mind, to take a break from external events that exhaust my ego and work on the self. Only then can I use my nurtured psychosocial resources, aka roots, to deter me from reacting negatively towards stressors that can potentially take me down a path that takes days or sometimes even weeks to bounce back from. We are all undoubtedly social creatures, and we thrive off our relationships, which have the potential to make or break us. Cultivating healthy relationships is absolutely vital to the strength of our roots. Self-care. In my humble opinion, self-care processes are one of the most important pillars to creating strong and resilient roots. Now I'm going to read one of my favorite stories of self-care. It's an article written by D.S. Barnett for The Sun magazine with reflection by Jack Kornfield in his book, The Wise Heart, A Guide to the Universal Teachings of Buddhist Psychology. D.S. Barnett shows how compassion can bloom in even the midst of a terrible childhood. Mother always assured me that unspeakable punishments were bound to befall any child as naughty as I was. If I were you, she'd say, I'd be afraid to go to sleep at night for fear that God would strike me dead. She would speak those words softly, regretfully, as though saddened by her errant daughter's fate. After describing years of abuse and violation, Barnett goes on, the most devastating words my mother ever spoke to me came when I asked her if she loved me. I had just been escorted home by the police after one of my many attempts to run away, so it was a bad timing on my part. She answered, "How could anyone ever love you?" It took me almost 50 years to heal the damage from all her ugly remarks. D.S. Barnett relates a childhood ritual that helped save her life. From the age of 5 or 6 until I was well into my teens, whenever I had trouble sleeping, I would slip out from under my covers and steal into the kitchen for a bit of bread and cheese, which I would carry back to bed with me. There, I'd pretend my hands belonged to someone else, a comforting, reassuring being without a name, an angel perhaps. The right hand would feed me little bites of cheese or bread as the left hand stroked my cheeks and hair. With my eyes closed, I would whisper softly to myself, "There, there, go to sleep. You're safe now. Everything will be all right. I love you." Self-care can take many forms. Reading, therapy, binge-watching HBO, talking to yourself in the mirror, singing karaoke, dancing, traveling, shopping, writing personal manifestos on post-it notes and displaying them around your space, building things with your hands, praying, yoga, exercise, yummy food, meeting new people. The possibilities are truly endless. The magic is the result of these processes that we participate in that keep us at peace even when our environment is bombarded by stress-inducing events. Don't take my word for it. We've all seen the difference between a person who puts everyone and everything in their lives above self and the person who takes real quality time to heal the self. Although they may find happiness in showing up for everyone else, the wear and tear on their mental, emotional, and many times physical can be overwhelming. I know this because I was, am, and are working through being that person. Before we can be of any use to others, we must first develop and continuously nurture the self. So I'm going to end this. There was a time in my life, not really all that long ago, where I was not the Chanel you see sitting in front of you today. Not by a long shot. I had no passion, no purpose, no identity. I was kind, yet mean and jealous, spiteful, vengeful, and at times just really, really wicked. I lived to please everyone in my life except myself, and I hated myself for it. I gave myself to anyone who acknowledged my existence because I was a numb, empty shell of a person who craved validation and attention, and to every relationship I valued because I thought I was being a good friend by prioritizing their needs over my own. One day, I came to a realization that my wanting to be there for everyone else was an excuse to block my own growth. Fear led me to self-sabotage my potential growth, so I justified it by going above and beyond for the people I loved, some who deserved it and some who didn't. They were my excuse to justify to myself why my life was standing still. It was okay because I was being selfless. Lies. Heartbreak after heartbreak, I began to realize that unless I was okay with completely wasting life and potentially spiraling down a very dark path that I would be completely ashamed of, I decided to make a promise that I wanted to be a better version of myself. I had absolutely no idea how in the world to start my transformation, but I knew that I had to. Fast forward several years through lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of tears, moving, healing, meeting my forever partner and friends, graduating college, healing, traveling, forgiving, reading, researching, studying, healing, creating, growing, and growing, and growing, and here I am. Nice to meet you guys. Once a person who was a withered flower on a dying plant, I fertilized my soil and my roots have become stronger than they have ever been. I am truly excited about life, scared, mostly terrified, but ready to face it head on. This presentation has been a reflection of the pillars of my journey to healing and growth. I'm going to read that story, if that's okay, because it's called Sacred Perception. Each time we meet another human being and honor their dignity, we help those around us. Their hearts resonate with ours in exactly the same way the strings of an unplucked violin vibrate with the sounds of a violin played nearby. Western psychology has documented this phenomenon as mood contagion or limbic resonance. If a person filled with panic or hatred walks into a room, we feel it immediately. And unless we are very mindful, that person's negative state will begin to overtake our own. When a joyfully expressive person walks into a room, we can feel that state as well. And when we see the goodness of those before us, the dignity in them resonates with our own or with our admiration and respect. Some years ago, I heard the story of a high school history teacher who knew this same secret. On one particularly fidgety and distracted afternoon, she told her class to stop all their academic work. She let her students rest while she wrote on the blackboard a list of the names of everyone in the class. Then she asked them to copy the list. She instructed them to use the rest of the period to write beside each name one thing they liked or admired about that student. At the end of class, she collected the papers. Weeks later, on another difficult day just before winter break, the teacher again stopped the class. She handed each student a sheet with his or her name on top. On it, she had pasted all 26 good things the other students had written about that person. They smiled and gasped in pleasure that so many beautiful qualities were noticed about them. 3 years later, this teacher received a call from the mother of one of her former students. Robert had been a cut-up, but still one of her favorites. His mother sadly passed on the terrible news that Robert had been killed in the Gulf War. The teacher attended the funeral where many of Robert's former friends and high school classmates spoke. Just as the service was ending, Robert's mother approached her. She took out a worn piece of paper, obviously folded and refolded many times, and said, "This was one of the few things in Robert's pocket when the military retrieved his body." It was a paper on which the teacher had so carefully pasted the 26 things his classmates had admired. Seeing this, Robert's teacher's eyes filled with tears. As she dried her wet cheeks, another former student standing nearby opened her purse, pulled out her own carefully folded page, and confessed that she had always kept it with her. A third ex-student said that his page was framed and hanging in his kitchen. Another told how the page had become a part of her wedding vows. The perception of goodness invited by this teacher had transformed the hearts of her students in ways that she might only have dreamt about. We can each remember a moment when someone saw this goodness in us and blessed us. On retreat, a middle-aged woman remembers the one person, a nun, who was kind to her. As a frightened and lonely teenager, she gave birth out of wedlock. She's carried her name all these years. A young man I worked with in juvenile hall remembers the old gardener next door who loved and valued him. The gardener's respect stuck with him through all his troubles. This possibility is voiced by the noble Nelson Mandela. It never hurts to think too highly of a person. Often they become ennobled and act better because of it. To see with sacred perception does not mean we ignore the need for development and change in an individual. Sacred perception is one half of a paradox. Zen master Shunryu Suzuki remarked to a disciple, "You are perfect just the way you are, and there is still room for improvement." But it starts with the most radical vision, one that transforms everyone it touches, a recognition of the innate nobility and the freedom of heart that are available wherever we are. So I want to end this by saying, I wish you all peace, blessings, and strength to move past the hardships you will face with grace and compassion. Cherish yourselves, cherish community, and cherish humanity always and forever. Thank you all for sharing your time with me.
Special thanks to Olivia Lehman and Kara Hackett for making this show possible. And thank you to WonderComber Company for hosting the event. Additional content from WBOI Presents and our community partners can be found at WBOI.org. Our music is by Mark Waldick and Noah Campodonico. Our web producer is Loyal Vandenberg. Our production assistants are Monica Blankenship and Michaela Velton. Until next time, thank you for listening. From WBOI, Fort Wayne.